Okay, maybe. I don't know. It seems easy. Well, actually, what I mean by easy is that because nothing is really an original idea. It's always based on something. So, like, we know so many Maha Mantra melodies. We so many different songs. When I make up a tune, it's usually somewhere based on something.
Yeah,
that's why I mean.
We did it last week with Maharaj. We made up. We made a tune. I mean, it basically was. Completely sounds like another Mahavishnu at the beginning, and you know, like because it just is very, you know, it's very evocative
but
of another
it's
one.
Fun
but
it's though,
it's
it?
Different, but
yeah.
It's still, you know, as a step. So we did it. We made up
exactly. We did it. I don't think it's as hard as people think.
Well, I thought I made up this fantastic ending, and it actually just doubled up the time of the
song. What about the
Quran?
maybe we can make up a new one this week as well.
So these are kind of like my mom. She's like tone deaf, but she always like used to like sing these prayers, and they're like I don't know, somehow they're really simple to just like put in whatever like she needs here.
Yeah, because they're an easy
and
yeah, exactly yeah.
And she used them as prayers more than songs. Yeah,
yeah.
So. It can be really simple as well.
Exactly.
Like you did in the beginning with the Namaham Vishnu Padaya.
Exactly.
You,
yeah.
Like
you
like
can sing
you
it like that.
Yeah. And they're really nice in that way too.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah, it's just nice to know that. You know that it's not, you know, that you're not being offensive if you try and just make up something,
no,
or you
no,
know
no.
That it has a bona fide
not
tune or whatever, you know.
I think
you
or just yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just
that people
just
aren't going to hear it and go, what is she doing?
Yeah, that's not
the
tune.
I think if you're in Mayapur and you sing a Western melody to one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs,
you might create a little
chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always. It's a good point that it's according to time, place, and circumstance. Like. For Bengali devotees, they may have a much more rigid appreciation of what sounds right because they are used to hearing it in a certain way. And if you sing it, yeah, like I know, you know, for instance, in Mayapur, there's such a diversity of devotees from different places in the world. There's like a Latino community, there's a Russian community, there's Chinese devotees, and each have their own kind of way of interfacing with the culture. And sometimes they don't appreciate each other's way or style so much. But that's just normal, that's just life, you know. We have different ways of interacting with the source material, but the message is the same. So it is a living thing, you know, it doesn't have to be... These conversations go on in every like art form, you know, like classical art form, ballet. Like, what's the future of ballet? Do we always have to step like this, or can we actually make up a new way of doing this step or this dance, or you know, opera or anything? People worry about like how will it continue and how will we preserve it as it's supposed to be. So, to my understanding, the most important thing is appreciating the text, the message, and.
I guess there's a fine line in India between like killing the rat and like
yeah.
Direction, like directing people in.
Right. So if you sing some real Western melody in India amongst all Indian people, you may be killing it for them. But
yeah.
If you do it somewhere in the West, you may be actually drawing it out of people's hearts. So, I mean, this your whole kirtan course this summer. This is, if you aspire to lead kirtan, this is also such an important thing that you're just always aware of time, place, and circumstance. Not that you have to overthink it and think that by doing that you're going to make or break whether someone, you know, connects with the holy name, but you do have to be conscious because it does make a difference, or it can make a difference.
What's your opinion, because we had actually a conversation with Karma Swami about harmony, and I know you do it a lot with.
Yeah.
And he's very traditional in that way that it shouldn't be, I think he said that it shouldn't like come up, like cover the mantra, like it should like not be the whole song, maybe in the middle of it.
Yeah.
He does it too, but not, it's just like not all the time. Yeah.
Because he doesn't want it to sound like a gospel.
Yeah. I love harmonies, personally. I really love harmonies. And part of that's probably because my mum is like a, you know, incurable harmonizer. She harmonizes with everything. And I used to make fun of her when we were growing up, like, why do you always have to harmonize? Like, just sing something normal, you know. But yeah, if you have an ear for harmony, it's hard not to, you naturally just harmonize with everything. But I do agree that, and that's the same principle of timeless and circumstance. You should be aware. Like, one time, there's become more and more of a kind of, I don't know, fashion or like a taste for harmonizing in kirtan, especially because certain kirtan leaders encourage it. Or, like, for instance, Madhava, he often gets someone, like, even for me, he's asked me to sing along and harmonize. Or once someone came up to us after the kirtan in Mayapur, in the kirtan mela, and he came up to me and said, oh, Mataji, that was such a nice kirtan, but please, do you mind, don't harmonize, because it's really distracting. And I said, well, he told me to, that's why I did it. And he said, oh, yeah, but I was thinking, you know, it's not really to everyone's, for some people it is distracting. Yeah, and it can be confusing, like if you're not musical, you might think, oh, which one am I supposed to be following? And I actually just read a quote the other day from Srila Prabhupada where somebody asked him this specifically. And I think I will try and find it so that we can see together. But I believe he said that if there's occasionally harmony in the response, was it the response or the leading? I'll find out and I'll tell you. He said that one of them was more acceptable, but that one, everybody should sing the same thing, because somebody asked him.
But then you hear the Goddess of Fortune, Mahamantra, that's also
harmony. Lots of harmony, yeah. I think, you know, because many of those devotees were musicians, and I think if you're a Western person, and you're musical in any way, or even if you're not, we're just used to harmony, that's part of our musical culture, so I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with it. I think the main principle is you shouldn't get carried away with something, and you shouldn't do something that's going to distract from the mantra.
I remember when I was learning harmony, the principle of a harmony is to support the melody. Support, like the melody is very still much, like, so that it should never be a distraction. Like the melody is still very much the melody that is heard, the prominent melody that is heard, but the harmony is just there to decorate. And for me, it doesn't distract. It lifts the name up for me. Visually, it just.
Yeah.
And so when Maharaj said it, I was like, no.
And also, you go back to the chord conversation, because exactly what we're doing, we're making a chord on and out on our harmonious, but the voice, right? Or the canon.
He will say that he does it too. Right?
Yeah, he does it.
But time, place, and circumstance. That was very much Prabhupada's message as well. So much of the time, time, place, and circumstance.
And the difficulty is the sensitivity of each of one. Sometimes you can't control it, you just go for it. And it's too loud, it's too many, and it's too fast.
I heard about it.
Got that? Did you hear it from that?
I heard about it from Manu. Okay, well, we can have these discussions ongoing, but let's sing one last bhajan before we stop for today. So we'll be ready to go into the next section tomorrow. So already the mood is starting to lift. I have two copies of Sharanagati here, by the way, so if anyone would like to read the prayers that go in between the ones that we're singing, you're welcome to. So this one is Emona Durmati. This is also quite a commonly sung song.
When is it sung?
Good question. When I say commonly sung, actually they're not really that commonly sung, but they, of the songs that are sung, they're more likely to be sung, meaning they are popular in Gaudiya Math and devotes, and they're in the songbook, for instance, the regular songbook. I think these ones are actually in there, even though we don't really sing them.
I think in Mayapur the brahmacharis go through them every day.
Yeah, in Mayapur, they do. Like if you go to Mayapur and you're in the temple room, for instance, if you go to the temple room in the morning, like between 10 and 12, I think, and in the afternoon, 4 o'clock kind of time, there's always a group of devotees there singing, and they sing these songs pretty much. They sing only, mostly Bhakti No Thakur songs and Narottam Das Thakur. So you if you go, you'll probably recognize some of them. Otherwise, you don't hear them that much, because the arti songs that we sing are probably the full extent of the bhajans that we usually sing, because that's what most people know. And even now, like for instance, I'm coming from Bhaktivedanta Manor, and there the majority of Indian congregation are Gujarati background, and are not so comfortable with Bengali, so they don't really connect so much with, for them to sing in an Indian language that's not their mother tongue, I think it feels a bit weird as well. Like for us, all of these are not our mother tongue, but for them, if they're going to sing like a bhajan, sometimes I think it feels better that it should be in the language that's their language. So for that reason, I feel like it's also gone a bit out of practice to sing some of them.
So. Are these ones associated with certain times of day?
No, not that I know of. These are.
It would be the melody, right?
Yeah. The melody. Yeah. There are some bhajans, I think, that are describing certain activities at a certain time of day, and that you may, like some are arti songs, or some are, like Boga arti song is sung at Boga arti time, but these ones are not. Okay, so Emana Durmati. Anyone can start reading the translation?
Have a good mind brought me into this world. O Lord, that one of your pure and elevated devotees has come to bring me out.
He saw me so fallen and wretched, took pity and came to me saying, O humbled soul, please listen to this good city, for it will gladden your heart.
Tidings. Message.
So, yeah, hold the word.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya has appeared in the land of Navadvipa to deliver you. He has safely conducted many miserable souls, such as you, across the sea of worldly existence.
To fulfill the promise of the Vedas, the son of the Brahman appearing in their name, Mahaprabhu of golden complexion, is descended with his brother Devaduta Nityananda. Together they have all held an oath of Nanda, the divine ecstasy.
Sri Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, the son of Nanda, has saved the world by fully distributing his own holy name. Go also and receive your deliverance.
O Lord, hearing those words, Bhaktivinoda has come weeping to the soles of your lotus feet and tells the story of his life.
It's very similar to the Amar Jivan. I always mix them up. Devotee Agnidev Prabhu, who's the very famous Kirtaniya, he recorded many, he learnt a lot of these songs originally in Mayapur as a young devotee. He and Badahari Prabhu and there are a couple of devotees who were really like studying. So he recorded many of them, and those recordings are a good reference point for the tunes.
Thank you. Yeah.
thank you. Yeah.